Good evening. Welcome everyone to Simple Actions Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Jason and I'm an alcoholic. Housekeeping, we only be recording and publishing the audio portion of this meeting. You can sign up for email or listen to previous recorded meetings on our website at simpleactions.net. For those who care to join us, let's open the meeting with a serenity prayer. God.
God. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. The courage to change the things I can.
And the wisdom to know the difference. The Simple Action Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively. Newcomers, is there anyone in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would like to welcome you. And then on Zoom, you can raise your hand and someone will chat with you on Zoom. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism by taking AA Simple Action. AA Preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy. Neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. This evening, we are discussing step 11. Please help me welcome our panel tonight, Barry and Willie. I will read the first paragraph on page 85, and then the panel will share for a few minutes on this reading. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. Page 85, step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy in this matter of prayer. Better men than we are using it constantly. It works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. It would be easily to be vague about this matter, yet we believe we can make some defiant and valuable suggestions. When we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do we owe an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving toward all? What could have we done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time? Or were we thinking of that what we could do for others? Of what we could pack into the stream of life, but we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, for that would diminish our usefulness to others. After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. Barry or William?
My name is Barry and I'm an alcoholic.
There.
Let's see. I've never been here before. And Jason asked me, have you know the format? I said, well, not really. So you're going to get it. It's funny. I'll tell a story. Yesterday. Last week I talked to Willie. I said, Willie, are we still on for, when is it? Cause we signed up. Ryan had asked me some time ago and I really forgot what the date was. And I asked Willie, he said, yeah, you on for Monday? I said, yeah, what is it? And he kind of ran over the format and said that somebody would text us what we're going to be doing. And so Willie kind of briefed me on the format. And so later that day, we get a text, or Willie texts me the format, and I open it up and read and see what it is. It's what we just read, and then a little bit more on step 11. So I said, uh-oh, I better bone up on this. You know, I'm going to get my book out and look at it and get briefed. So I go to my big book study yesterday at 3 o'clock, where I normally go. And it's a big book study. And, you know, we go through the readings and say, okay, today we're going to be reading from step 11. We're going to start at page 85. So how cool is that? You know, that right there, that and I even looked over at Willie and we kind of smiled at each other. And so, you know, things like that, just I don't know about you, but coincidences, I gave up on those long ago. Step 11 has been it's a powerful step. And what I do know about that is and it was told to me early on that I could practice any step in the program that has one in it, no matter where I am in my journey. Step one, you know, don't drink. Step 10, you know, continuance, perseverance, work it, keep coming back. Step 11, pray. And step 12, you know, help somebody else, do some service, you know, work with somebody. So those were kind of instilled in me early on. So, and I didn't know how to pray. That was, you know, the essence of this step is sought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God as I understand him. And I didn't know how to pray. And I came into AA having probably said the first honest prayer that I'd ever said in my life. And that was that morning. I asked from inside my heart, I said, God help. And that was a prayer. And I didn't realize it, you know, and I was introduced to God that day. And I knew God from my childhood. And I've heard stories about people, you know, we raised in the church or ran from God. I had a God, but I'd ran from him. And here, this step teaches me to sought. You know, that's an action. You know, I got to keep on after this. So I think about that whenever I do step 11. And early on, that prayer. And I'll tell you, I got sober with a bunch of, you guys don't all have white hair. When I first came in, everybody had white hair. And they were mean old guys. And I mean, I've only been around 8 years, 8.5 years. And over in Craddock in Portsmouth. And they tell you, you know, how it was. And I remember this guy, Dale, he would say, you know, when you go to bed at night, take your boots off and shove them all the way deep underneath your bed. So that way you're already down on your knees and ask God to, you know, help you and thank him at the end of the day if you stayed sober. And that was it, you know, teaching me how to pray right off the bat. God, thank you. And he said, in the morning, when you go to reach your boots, you're already down on your knees, ask God to help you throughout the day, stay sober. And that was my first experience with praying. And I actually did that for some time. And I've been working with a guy here recently, and he told me that he had been doing that. And I started doing that again. And it's been a powerful thing. And the prayer is vital. And it tells us in this step that, you know, to pair them together and it's priceless. This paragraph, you know, it kind of sets me up, and I've heard it described, you know, here we go when we retire at night. Well, that's the end of the day. You know, why didn't it start with on the next paragraph on awakening? I always thought about that. And it was, I remember God told me, he was sharing, and it bing, you know, it clicked. He said, you know, you got to set yourself up, you know, for the day that's coming. And clear the day that's been. And that's the way that is. I don't know about you, but I have I still have a squirrel. But I used to have a pack of squirrels in there that ran the cage, and it would spin all the time. I go pass out drunk, and then as soon as I come to, it's spinning from where it left off. And that right there, what we read, well, for me, it got rid of most of the squirrels, and it quieted and it gave the one, you know, a break. And today that squirrel cage has stopped. And when I wake up in the morning, it's not spinning. You know, that's cool. You know, and that used to wake me up. I would screw my day up before my feet hit the floor. And not today. It talks about, you know, it has some, and when I first started doing this, I did it real fast. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Nah. Do we owe an apology? Have we kept someone to ourselves, which should be discussed with another person at once? Mm-mm. Were we kind and loving toward all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time? I'd answer it real quick. And my sponsor, he asked me about this when we got there. And I'm good. You know, he said, well, slow it down. Well, when we retire at night, where we constructively review our day, were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Nah. He said, slow it down. Were we resentful? Well, maybe. Selfish? Yeah. Dishonest? Not today. Or afraid? Some. You know, so that was very important to me, because if I'm not breaking it down and taking it, you know, one at a time, I'll skip it, you know, and I can't reflect honestly and logically to clear it. And just like I did, you know, today, I'll slow it down. And that's kind of what the steps did for me. And I always talk about I came into AA willingly this time in October. And you guys kind of had a backdoor way of working it in, you know, the daily reflection centers around the month and the step that's of the month and or the tradition. And step 10 just kind of slowed things down. Then I got into November and I hadn't had a drink for a little while, a couple of days. And you guys was talking about prayer and things just kind of slowed down. Just like that text, you know, things just started to fall into place. And I started to notice it. I think my whole life God's been in my life since all my life. I just couldn't see it. And today, slowing it down, I'm recognizing those things, and it's cool. You know, once I do that inventory and look at my day, you know, he doesn't give me an out. What could we have done, Ben? Were we thinking ourselves most of the time, or were we thinking of what we could do for others? After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. So Bill doesn't really give me an out. After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness. You know, I've already done those things. You know, if I can be honest with myself, slow it down and look at it, I'll see where I was wrong. And even, you know, like I said, was I dishonest? You know, and not really. There's some good side to it, you know, and I need to see that. I can never see the good, not in me. And today I'm cool with the good, and able to work on the not so good, or the things that need working on. I don't know, how are we doing for this method? I'm gonna turn it over to my friend Willie. Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, thanks. So.
Thanks for.
I was good with you talking.
You're up, my friend.
My name is Willie, and I am an alcoholic.
Hey, Willie.
Thank you, Ryan, for asking us for the opportunity. Prayer and meditation was the last. Prayer was the last thing I wanted to hear when I got in here. I grew up Catholic. It was pounded in my head. I thought I had a faith, and I thought it didn't work. Took me a little while in here to realize I didn't have a faith. I just had knowledge of an organized religion. You know, I didn't have definition of faith. I look up a lot of definitions of words. Definition of faith is a total trust in someone or something. Total. That's a pretty definite word. Like, not like 95%, but I got this part. Like, I'm just okay today, but I didn't want to hear that prayer. When I first got here, people would say stuff, and I know y'all heard it read 62 to 64 and 84 to 88 every day. So I didn't do it. You know, I was just in here. I was like, I like that part they say contempt without investigation. I came in here with investigation, but it was more like private investigator. Like, I was going to stay in the back of the corner and figure out how you guys do this. I didn't want to do what you were doing. But so the prayer thing, like, of course, I had that Catholic crap in my head going around and stuff. And I mean, my attitude in life was I'm going to hell anyways. You know, it's what I was told my whole life. So I was in here about 4 or 5 months, and I would go down to the Saturday night meeting. You know, felt good. Most of the places were closed by the time I made it back to Portsmouth from Chesapeake, you know, a little safe place. And after the meeting, I was just standing there and this guy came up to me and I've never seen him before and I've never seen him after. And he's just talking to me. And he's like, blah, 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 blah. Like, yeah, do you pray? And I'm like, I pray to Mark. He's like, what do you mean? I was like, well, yeah, my mom died about 4 years ago and she died for, you know, she died and she prayed her whole life for me to get sober. Man, looked me square in the eyes and said she got what she prayed for, didn't she? I was like, whoa, whoa. And conversation. I don't even remember the whole conversation. I just remember two sentences. And he was saying something and I was like, yeah, but I'm going to hell anyways. That man, dead serious, said, you don't get to make that decision. He said, what are you going to do from this point on? I was like, whoa. Like, maybe there's something going on in here I ain't figured out from the corner yet. So I started doing some of the prayers. I figured out after a little while that they wanted me to read those certain pages at first because 62 to 64 told me what my problem was. And 84, 88 gave me, you know, a little inkling of what I could do for it in the time being until I do the rest of this stuff. Like I had no idea that was what was going on. And, you know, I grew up in this. Like I said, I remember praying as a kid the way I was taught. I'm in this church and these nuns are telling me pray for anything and God will give it to you. My dad died when I was 11 and I couldn't pray him back. You know, that turned me off right there that, you know, these people were lying to me. You know, I just wouldn't have any part of it. And I would do things even at the end of my drinking, like, you know, I'd be like reaching in the cooler and saying, please, God, make me stop drinking. Like he was going to take the 12 pack out of my hand. You know, that was my delusional mind on prayer. But I came in here and like Barry, they told me, you know, when you wake up in the morning, ask God to help you stay sober. And he said, if you make it, thank him at the end of the night. That was like my first two, I'm going to say, honest prayers, not the scripted prayers that I was taught my whole life. And the next thing I know, I got a couple days and a couple weeks and, you know, things. Like things are happening around me and I'm starting to notice these coincidences like Barry said, like this guy I've never seen before, haven't ever seen since, just pops in my life and says this stuff to me. Like, you know, maybe there is something to this higher power thing. Maybe, you know, maybe this thing's around me somewhere and I just can't see it. But, you know, I was also told further on in my sobriety when I got to this point, the prayer without meditation is just talking to yourself. What the hell does that mean? He said, if you're praying and you don't take time to listen for an answer, you're just talking to yourself. He said, and if the answer comes in your voice, you need to try again. I was like, okay. But I've come to find that, like, I look forward to this every night, especially the night part, because I get to, first of all, review my day. I'm one that, this is my personal opinion, a lot of people confuse step 10 and step 11. Like to me, step 10 means all the time. When wrong, promptly admit it, continue to take personal inventory. It doesn't say at night, in the morning, it says do it now. And I feel step 11 is like for the shit I missed, you know? But that last, I like this last sentence here. And I'm still lazy and undisciplined, so I don't get real glasses. These got bifocals in them. After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taking. That's not the end of it at that point. You know, if there is an amends, if there is something I did wrong, you know, just whatever it may be, after God tells me what the corrective measures are, am I willing to do them? You know, am I willing to take the action? Because, you know, driven by 1,000 forms of fear, I found that when I got here, there was only one form of fear and I didn't have it. But, you know, in those corrective measures, there's always a fear of what the retaliation's going to be. When I go admit I was wrong, like even today, even after amends and some of the worst ones in the world and they went okay, if I go back a day after and say, well, this happened and I was wrong and this and that, there's always the fear that they're going to unload on me. And I have to be willing to take that. The power to carry that out is part of this step too. That's most of the time I can't do that myself. Willie doesn't do stuff like that. You know, Willie's two default settings are F you and F it. And I get, you know, go along my merry way. I guess that's the easier, softer way. But I find now they talk somewhere in the book, I think it's somewhere around six or seven. They talk about, I think it's the end of five, they talk about walking hand in hand on the broad highway. Like, that sounds like a little gimmick thing, little fancied up thing, like what's supposed to happen to us after. But I like that, because today, that broad highway that I'm on, walking hand in hand, seems to get more narrow and more narrow to what's acceptable to me. And as that highway closes up and I'm going on it, what's acceptable to me, I don't have to, there's not as many corrective measures to take as there was, say, 4 years ago, 5 years ago. You know, I learned to take care of the stuff along the way, and it doesn't, and Barry mentioned how they, in a step 11, they start at night. I asked that same question, and they told me there is such thing as an emotional hangover. You know, you just let crap rot in your head or whatever, and you wake up and it's still there. And, you know, how can you start a day with that on your back? You know, like I said, I look forward to my time, and it's usually about a half hour for me at night. You know, I wind down, I'll do some stuff on my phone, whatever, and then I walk outside and kind of look up and, you know, pray. I always, you know, like, I grew up with this Catholic vision of, you know, the Jesus, the, you know, everything you see in a Catholic church. That was my vision in here. But today, because of prayer and meditation, it's much bigger than anything they ever told me. You know, like the last part of my 11th step every night, so I kind of look up at the moon or the stars or clouds or whatever's out there. And it's kind of like, I don't know who you are, what you are, where you are, but today I do know that you are, and thank you. And then I'll go back in my room and just try to be quiet. And normally at that point, I can drift off to sleep without Barry squirrels coming over to visit. So I'm going to stop here. I think we have more to read here.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks.
Great start. All right, we're going to continue the reading on page 86. On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance, for after all, God gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. In thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We are often surprised how the right answers come after we have tried this for a while. What used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. Being still and experienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it is not probable that we're going to be inspired at all times. We might pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration, to come to rely upon it.
So that'd be me again.
I think that's how it works, buddy.
So, as we were reading this, I was thinking about yesterday, and when we we covered this, and this lady shared, and she used the word yummy. and I thought that was cool, because she was on fire, and she'd been there a couple times, but she'd been around for a long time, I think. She just had it, and man, she was on it. Just, she called it yummy. And I'm sitting here and I get that, you know, intuitive things come to me, that were my things were action and reaction. That's how I operated. And today I don't, you know, I take action, and I reaction is usually not my first thought. As a matter of fact, my first sponsor, he told me my first thought was wrong. And I've heard that several times, it is today. My first thought is needs to be checked, you know, and that's that intuitive thought. I think one of the promises in the 11th step is you get that God consciousness. You become, you know, the things just flow, and you relax and take it easy. That is so cool to have that feeling from what I talked about before, that, you know, the waking up and being in the, you know, in it. And the way I do that is taking this step, and it comes, you said that got kind of smaller, and I guess it does, you know, that intuitive thought makes it, you know, as part of as part of it. We were talking about routine and sleeping outside, and how routine is very important for me. And I found out that when I do things, you know, they become habit, intuitive. And that was never the case. So I like the fact that I can do that. I was thinking about the analogy that is in the book about the broad highway. I grew up Southern Baptist, you know, and was thrown the book, and I'd already done the road was just done for me. I wasn't going to make it, you know, and then I remember, you know, I didn't want to be Baptist. I was about 12 years old, and we'd go to the Baptist weddings, and the reception was in the church. You know, we had the punch with the sherbet and the ginger ale. I went to a Catholic wedding at 12, and we were drinking the keg beer in the church. Only thing I knew about religion is I want to be Catholic. You know? And that's it on me today. That highway is broad. I find God in many things, in everything. And the one thing that I know, it's an inside job. God is inside me. I've heard since I came here that God brought me to AA, and AA brought me to God. Your higher power, the gift of desperation. That was the first God that I had in AA. G-O-D, gift of desperation. That's kind of what do they call it? The paradox, you know. How is that God, you know, desperation? And I found that came to you people, a group of drunks, G-O-D, you know, who gave me good orderly direction. All those things that were G-O-D were coming to me. And I like I said before, I'd seen them. I just didn't feel them or know they were there. I remember a lady says, you know, I didn't believe in God. And then another lady said, well, I don't believe in the same God that you don't believe in. And I could wrap my hands around that, you know, because I had a problem with God. Some lady said, you know, I call my God Sam, S-A-M, sure ain't me. You know, my first sponsor, he said, you know, just you, God works for people who believe in, or AA works for people that believe in God. AA works for people that don't believe in God. AA never works for people who think they are God. You know, there is a God and it isn't me. And when I started to believe that, and I could see it in my life, things changed. You know, this is a change of point. You know, starting to pray and meditate. I have a hard time with meditation. I used to go to this meeting on Monday nights, it was a meditation meeting. And at 10:15 till the hour, they cut the lights off and we'd all get on the pillows and lay down. You know, I couldn't do it. My head was spinning from what we talked about in the meeting. And I still have a hard time. I find myself meditating while driving. Don't get on the road with me. I might be in meditation. But it's so cool because I hear people bitching about the driving, you know, it pisses us off, other people. You think? And I think I can get a sobriety meter, you know, a gauge on my car. And it usually reads how I made it from point A to point B. You know, I can look at that meter and see how I ended up. And a lot of days I won't have the radio on, and I put the cruise on the speed limit. And next thing you know, I'm where I'm supposed to be, you know, and I've had a conversation with God and listened to him. You know, that was it said, and I think I'm gonna back up to where Willie was, you know, and inquire. You know, I'm praying, I'm talking to God, and then I'm inquiring what corrective measures should be taken. So there's some listening that I got to do, and asking, and find out what I need to do. On awakening, I get to think about the day ahead. You know, this is a 24-hour program. One day at a time. You guys told me all that stuff. Don't drink today, you know, and here it is, you know, one day at a time, you know, the 24 hours ahead. I'm forecasting. I'm asking God to guide me in my actions, my thought process, and see what I can do for others. You know, love and tolerance is our code of others. And I never knew that. Tells us that just in the pages before this. Checking my motive. Ooh, my friend Richard used to always talk about motives. And, you know, I got to check mine because usually it's about me, you know, even today. Well, yeah, it is. And that's very important, very important. What else did it say? What used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. That's kind of like that narrow road, I think, what I was getting out of what Willie was talking about. You know, I just know what to do. And I think that, well, like I said, this step is a daily occurrence. You know, it's got a one in it. I love the steps with a one. I said that 1, 10, 11, and 12, my walking steps. I don't like many of the steps that got a 4 and a 5 in them. I like the ones that got a one. So it's, you know, what else was I thinking? We say the Lord's Prayer a lot of times at the meeting, and they say in one of the lines is, give us this day our daily bread. And somebody explained that to me, that's one day at a time. You know, I never thought of it like that. So there's we ask God for that in that prayer that I do quite often. I like what Willie's going to say.
So I like this upon awakening. I'm going to share an 11th step occurrence, whatever you want to call it, that happened, I don't know, about 6 months ago to me. So my sobriety date, September 1st, 2017. So September 1st of last year, I picked up 5 years. On September 24th, I was going to a wedding for my great niece in Pennsylvania, where there was going to be about 150 of me there actively drinking. You know, I come from that family where we like drink so we can stand each other until we drink too much and then we fight each other. But in about the middle of July that month, I was down in the meeting and I got this text from a friend in a program that at one point had become like my little sister, just my buddy. And during COVID, I had taken her a 5-year medallion. Current, she moves up Newport News, whatever. Went back out. She texts me, says, I can't stop drinking. And I said, do you need me to come up there? And she said, yeah. So I go up. And like I said, I had taken her a 5-year medallion about a year before that. So I go up and I'm talking to her, and her daughter just found out, and she's miserable and she's crying. And the conversation led to where she asked about someone else in the that used to be in the program, and how are they doing? And I said, they're probably drinking themselves to death. I said, probably like you are. And she's like, I can't do this. And this person knows this book probably better than I'll ever know it. You know, I learned a lot about this book from her. And the last thing I said to her that night is, if you don't do what you know how to do, I'm probably going to get to come to your funeral. I said, but I guarantee you when I do, I don't drink that night. And I was riding home and I was thinking about what we had just read the paragraphs before. Was I selfish? Was I helpful? Was I, you know, and why did God have me go up there? And I get home and I'm praying about this, and what can I do? Could I have done better? And I just got quiet and I drifted up off to sleep. And I like that upon awakening, at about 3 a.m, I sat right up in bed. Like you didn't have me go up there for her. You had me go up there for me. Like you wanted me to see what it was like to have 5 years and then go back out and how ugly it gets. Before I went to Pennsylvania to that wedding and, you know. And it was like I sat straight up in bed about 3 a.m. And that's when, you know, that this is five whatever years into this thing. Like that's when it hit me that there is definitely something out there that's looking after me, you know. So that guy asked me that day when I was about 5 months sober, what are you going to do from here on out? I think it tells me somewhere in this book, be maximum service to God knows about me. That's why I'm here. So was I maximum service? I did the best I could with what I had at the time. You know, I was there. I listened. I'm the kind of guy who'll let them whine and cry for about 10 minutes and then kind of give them a little slap. You know, I jump right back in here somewhere. But then, you know, where the intuitive thought and stuff, it says becomes a working part of the mind. I like that because it it becomes second nature. You know, I like the last step says practice these principles in all our affairs. I think they use that word practice on purpose because one day we're really going to need them, you know. And I'm sure I heard that from someone else. You know, they tell me nothing's original in here. But there was one thing I wanted to. It's not probable that we are going to be inspired at all times. We might pay for this presumption in all sources of observed actions and ideas. That's when I think I know what God's will is. You know, I'm supposed to do this. I'm supposed to do that. And I have to bring my head back to where my feet off and realize that I really have no idea what God's will for me is. I have a pretty good idea what it isn't. So, like, that's the part I try not to do. You know, and when I do it, we have that beginning part where I ask them, you know, for intuitive thought about corrective measures and stuff. You know, this, if you would have told me five, whatever years ago that I'd be sitting in here telling you guys how great prayer and meditation was, I'd have called you, you're idiots. Y'all still drunk. You know, I know, you know, I'm Catholic. I know all about prayer and this and that, and it doesn't work. I don't think the radio has been on in my truck for 2 years, you know. Most of the time I'm by myself, but even like my son motocrosses when we're going to a track practice or whatever, we keep it off because we have conversations like that. And he asked about this. It's kind of weird. You know, he does his thing. He's just like his daddy or whatever. But he sees a change in me because of this stuff. And I don't know when it happened, how it happened, why it happened. I know how it happened. We read it just about every meeting. You know, we read how it works, not why it works. But he does ask things, and like he tries to like do things that I do, if that makes any, it makes sense in my head. It's probably sounds like babbling to you guys, but like he wants to be that better person now without putting down that stuff, you know. And even he had a little scare not too long ago. I'm gonna say scare, something that caught his attention. And I was talking to him about you know, what it was basically, because it used to happen to his dad. And he said, are you going to tell me to stop drinking? Hell no. He said, why not? I said, for 15 years, you saw people tell me to, right? He said, yeah. I said, what did I do? He said, usually went good drunk. I said, well, why the hell am I going to tell you that? Those things come to me as I'm driving 30 minutes to pick him up and drive him home from where he's at in the prayer and meditation part. Because I don't know about you guys, I can talk to any of you guys, just, you know, I can fly right into here and we can do this stuff. But when it comes to someone close to me, you know, family member, I have a nephew really struggling in Pennsylvania, probably going to get to go to his funeral. It's different. It's like, I just want to grab them and slap them. And because of all this stuff and the prayer and meditation, intuitive thoughts, I like my man in the back there says, you build a village. When it comes to someone close to me, like I go right to this prayer and meditation thing and ask God to, you know, which way should I turn this person to? Whether it be person A, person B, person C, because I still have that, I know what's best for you mentality. And that's not me, that intuitive thought, that not knee-jerk reaction part, that comes through practice. Like I said, that's why I say they say practice, because one day you're really going to need it. I think I'm getting a little bit off step 11 here, so I'm going to stop and let you read some more.
Thank you very much. We're going to continue the reading on page 87. We usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer that we be shown all through the day what our next step is to be, that we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. We ask especially for freedom from self-will and are careful to make no requests for ourselves only. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. We are careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing it, and it doesn't work. You can easily see.
Oh, you're only gonna read that much. There's a lot of the word self in that paragraph. And what was I thinking about? The ninth step promises. I like those. We read those at the meeting. And if you work this program, you're gonna get them. I don't care if you want them or not. They come, but that self-seeking will slip away. You know, most of them are, we will get this. We will. This one's slipping away. So that's selfishness, self-centeredness. That's my problem. I mean, it tells me that in step three, you know, get rid of the self-will. And this is how to do it from, you know, right there. How to get better towards it. You know, this step is sought through prayer and meditation. I think that word sought is very, very important. You know, it ain't find prayer and meditation. It's continue to seek it and work it. You know, I go back to a daily program. This is a daily step. One thing that has helped me in my prayers is to tack on at the end, thy will, not mine, be done. You know, if I can put those words on the end of any of my prayers, it takes a bit of the self away from, you know, where I may be asking for myself, you know. And I you know, some instinctively, I think we as humans, we're selfish to some degree, or at least as alcoholics, I know to be. I've been blessed and been married for a long time, and my wife is one of the most selfless people I know. Sometimes I'm baffled. I mean, that's not the way you do it, you know, and I just don't get it. But some people have it. Some have to sought for it. And that's the essence of this step, really, to find God's will in my life and ask for the power to carry that out, whatever it may be. You know, ask for God's will. You know, like Willie said, I'm not sure what it is. I've been asking for it. And things have changed in my life since I came into AA and started to work the program and took it seriously. Things started to change. And I think that's God's will. You know, God wants us to be happy. It tells us that in here, you know, to use what we got to be happy and help others. And what a cool thing to be part of. You know, I was never part of that. I was always a part of the selfishness. And that just, I mean, drinking, this guy told me one time, he said, drinking is one of the most selfish things you can do. And, that bothered me, but I think about it, you know, when I take that drink, it takes God out of the picture and moves me so far away from God that, you know, how selfish is that, you know, to have God be taken away. I know God loves me today. I didn't think that, you know, I talked about it before where, you know, I'd already done what I couldn't, there was no repair. And I remember having that conversation early on with this guy, and he told me, he said he was just by God's house and he looked on his refrigerator and he said on God's refrigerator, he saw a picture of me. And I thought that was so cool, you know, because, I didn't think, you know, we put our pictures of our kids and stuff on the thing, and you know, God loves me. I never knew that. And my friend James, he always talks about, you know, that one of the greatest gifts that God gave me, was my will, my self-will. What a great gift! And buddy, I took it and ran. I ran it till it brought me to see you guys, you know, and then. It asks for one of the toughest things is to give that will back, you know, to give that self-will back. And that is a tough decision to make. You know, that's talking step three. And there's some parallel between 3 and 11. And I think that that self-will, give it to God, and great things have happened, you know, and maybe that is God's will in my life. You know, those great things that I can see today. That I wasn't, you know, I've been given a new set of glasses. I've heard that term, and I love that, you know, because I never could see these things, and here they are, and the last sentence is, you can easily see why. You know, how cool is that? So thanks for letting me share.
So I'm going to go back a paragraph here because Barry said something there, caught my attention. Barry been married a long time. I was married a long time, and then all of a sudden I wasn't. So like at the beginning of this, we ask God to direct our thinking. We especially ask that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, and self-seeking. I know what divorce to the ex-wife is. You know, like I'm not allowed to have any part of that. So I'm asking God to not let me have anything to, you know, divorce me from myself, basically. And then it goes on and on and on, and it talks, and we get to this paragraph, and it says, we usually conclude with a period of meditation and prayer that we be shown through the day what our next step to be, that we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. We ask especially for freedom from self-will. So I thought that was pretty good the way they wrote that, because, you know, Bill and Bob and the first 100 that wrote this knew we're a bunch of drunks, right? So we sit down, we say this prayer, like, divorce me from self-will and self-seeking and this and that. And he knows by the end of it, I'm already thinking of myself again. So he reminds me again. Oh, by the way, you might want to ask for that one more time. So, I mean, there's a lot of humility in step 11. It starts in step 7 for me. You know, I like the definition, not the AA definition, humility. I mean, I like that one too. It says, honestly, seeking God's will. But Webster tells me that it's a modest or low view of one's own importance. So through this, if I'm practicing humility, I'm looking at this God that's way bigger than anything I ever knew. I mean, it's keeping like a couple billion stars from crashing into each other and still takes care of me at the same time. But I know I'm not even a speck of sand on the beach in this, you know, in whatever universe, however big this thing is. And I'm saying, I know I'm nothing, but please help me. And it's just throughout the steps, especially from 7 further or 1. My first introduction to that kind of thinking was, I was probably 2.5-3 months sober. And there's this woman, I think she had about 26 years at the time. And I guess she saw I was like a thinker. I was really just keeping my mouth shut, standing in the back, like being that PI I was talking about. And she said, you know, early in my sobriety, my sponsor suggested to me that I do something nice for someone without them knowing, without telling anyone, and without expecting anything in return. How the hell do you do that? First of all, how do you do something nice for someone and they don't know it? So like that rattled around in my head for a while. I'm talking months. Like I'm thinking all the time, like, how do you do that? And then I did it by accident. I would go to work, and when I left work, I'd always stop 7-Eleven, get a Pepsi and cigarettes, whatever. And I went up to the 7-Eleven, same place I always did, park same spot, go up, walk. And I opened the door and 2 women walked through, and I just walked through behind them. And I walked back to get my Pepsi, and I was like, that's what she was talking about. Like this light bulb went off. I held that door and let those women walk through, and I didn't cuss them out for not thanking me. I was like, it can't be that simple. And like, that was like a revelation to me, like this AA stuff's real easy. But that was my first introduction of what I would say humility to be, was to me. And then I went back, it was a couple months after that happened. And she was like, so Willie, see that thing I told you about there a little while ago about helping someone. She says, have you done it yet? I said, well, if I tell you, it doesn't count. And if I haven't, then I'm just a jerk. So I'm going to just tell you that's between me and God. And she said, I think you're going to be okay. But little things like that, I mean, like that was part of my meditation. Like, tell me how to do this some nights. That would be in my head and that would put me to sleep. You know, the easy things like that, the easy suggestions like that weren't the wild roller coaster in my head. It was like they just sat in the back of my head and mellowed. And, you know, today, I mean, I love how this goes in, and I love the last step. I think I found that in 11 where it says having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, because I didn't want that. I wanted the wife and kids back as the result of these steps. You know, I wanted the 8 brothers and sisters to answer my phone calls as the result of these steps. You know, I didn't want a spiritual awakening, but I think what that did for me was today I know it's God is all around me at all times. I don't know who it is, what it is, where it is, but I know it's there somewhere. It's just my job to recognize it. And when I see it, ask him what I should do with it. The intuitive thought, the part that really sucks for me was when I finally learned that sometimes the right thing to do is nothing at all. That was so hard for me to do. Like, I'm an engine builder, I'm a hands-on, I make stuff happen. Something breaks, I fix it, But today I look at the other side of the engine builder thing. And today I look at the, if it ain't broke, I don't fix it kind of thing. I don't know everything in this book. I hope I never do. I love growing, as the result of these steps. But step 11 to me is, it's the most important part of my day today. And I wouldn't have known that without you guys. So I'll just stop there. Eventually you're going to tell us to say the Lord's Prayer.
Thank you both. I'm going to finish it up. We're running short on time. So page 87. As we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful, and we ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, "Thy will be done." We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become much more efficient. We do not tire so easily, for we are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. It works. It really does. We alcoholics are undisciplined, so we let God discipline us in the simple way we have just outlined. But this is not all. There is action and more action. Faith without works is dead. The next chapter is entirely devoted to step 12. Thank you both. Thanks, Barry and Willie.
Sure. Thank you.
Can I add one thing about that real quick? Wherever you're at.
All right, going passing around the seven tradition basket. The seven tradition states every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, supporting declining outside contributions. Why contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local services, district area, and the general services office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Our common welfare, word about safety. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meeting can take place. Announcements. Are there any AA-related announcements?
I'm working on an alcoholic. In this room, this home is having, and that is going to this month, give you the nice lowdown of the beautiful winter blue flyer that we have. It's going to be Debbie S. from Richmond. Bring a dish if you wish, aka bring a dish. Great time, bring yourself, bring a tea, come on out, give a blast. Thanks.
Thanks.
Thanks, Moore.
Thank you.
Mardi Gras, then.
Bobby B.
Bobby B.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I thought New Orleans steak.
Also, we have all built.
Thank you. Anyone else? Simple Actions is a home group. If you are interested in joining our home group or in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. Home group members, raise your hand. The literature table is over there. We got books and flyers for our supper and speaker. Please take some flyers to your groups. Sponsorship question. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, I will be available after the meeting up here. And if you're on Zoom, please reach out to someone on Zoom. Reminder, smokers, please use the butt can provided outside. Stay well away from the church doors. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. Meeting after the meeting. All are invited and encouraged to join us for fellowship at the meeting after the meeting that will be held at Cafe Stella, located at 20th and Colonial. If you need help getting there, just find a home group member. We'll get you there. Yep. In closing, let's thank Barry and Willie one more time. Thanks to all participated. After the Lord's Prayer, everyone will have a chance to say. Dave has volunteered to read the last two.
Hey, David. He suggested, as we know, but obviously great events clear away.
Circle up and close Lord's Prayer.
We can make a little oval.
I swear this is my favorite part of the meeting, David. Let a bunch of drunks make a circle.
Or what a circle looks like. Yeah. Moment of silence for those innocent and suffering, followed by the Lord. Our Father.
Our Father.
Lord in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our trespasses. As we forgive those who trespass against us.
Lead us not into temptation.
But deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom.
The power of the Lord.
Forever and ever.
Amen.